All right, you guys. So hopefully you just finished listening to the Personal Statement podcast. As always, this is Three Guys in a White Coat PS segment. So this is the segment where we've already talked about the personal statement. We've already talked about whatever we're talking about. And now we're going to focus in on some more specifics. So for this one, we're going to read you guys some of our old personal statements and then let you hear what the new ones were. So like, I'm going to read you the intro to my 2016 application that did not get me in medical school. And then I'm going to read you the revised one afterwards. And then after I read it, I'm going to let Matt and Matt kind of talk about it, and I'll be quiet for a little bit.
All right.
All right. You guys ready?
Mike, I was born ready for this.
Man, these are bad.
Okay. So this is my 2016 introduction. Run. Everybody run. They're everywhere, shouted the unit leader as the campers and counselors came barreling down the path. A vicious cloud of wasps was hot on their tracks. When the cloud passed, 3 6-year-old campers were injured and left in its wake. As a first-year counselor and only a junior in high school, I was presented with 2 options. Take control of the situation or run with everyone else. I ripped out my medical kit and shouted to the fleeing unit leader to call for help. I tended the campers quickly, forming welts while waiting for the EMT to arrive. When we returned to the YMCA, there were 3 sets of concerned but agitated parents demanding an explanation. With poise and respect, I described an incident and told the parents how brave the 3 young boys had been. The campers lovingly clutched their parents' legs as their faces lit up. The parents' agitation now shifted to understanding as they thanked me for being there to help their children in a time when they could not. This sense of responsibility, leadership, and trust from others was the reason I began thinking about a career in medicine in high school, and am now pursuing a career as a physician. Now I understand that I was beginning to appreciate the unique emotional fulfillment that physicians receive when treating their patients. That was my 2016 introduction. So now we're going to shift over to my 2018 application.
Mike Bernasoni, Wasp Slayer.
That's on his resume. I already seen it.
Wasp Slayer?
Yep.
I actually am the Wasp. I'm in The Ant and the Wasp. I don't know if you guys saw me in the film, but just saying.
Oh, I actually didn't see it. Did you see that one?
I didn't.
I didn't see that one.
I didn't see it either.
I haven't seen... Oh, I did just watch Deadpool for the first time the other day.
For the first time?
I know.
I asked you the other day if you've seen all these, and you told me yes.
Oh, I've seen a lot of them.
Did you lie
hey,
to
Mike,
me?
Hey, Mike, what was that one thing you were about to read?
Oh, sorry.
This okay. is the sorry. PS section. Got
sorry, oh, PS yeah, segment. Right, sorry. Okay, so this is my 2018 one. It was a beautiful summer day for my first field trip as a new counselor with the YMCA. Around noon, I was settling my campers for lunch when all of a sudden we heard one of the unit leaders yell, "Run, everybody, run." I saw a crowd of campers and counselors barreling down the path with a vicious cloud of wasps behind them. The wasps left 3 frightened and injured campers behind. I ripped out my medical kit and began tending to their campers' injuries. After the field trip, we returned to the YMCA, and the campers' concerned but agitated parents immediately surrounded me. I began explaining to the parents how brave and strong their boys had been. The campers watching the interaction began to smile as they clutched their parents' legs. The parents watched as their children's frightening experience morphed into a badge of courage and strength. The parents now began to thank me for being there for their children at a time when they could not. Walking into my car, at the end of the day, I came to realize the YMCA and I were a perfect complement because of our core values. Honesty, respect, caring, responsibility were identical. And then I go into some more stuff after that.
Nice.
That's the one I submitted.
I like that one better.
I was reading the other one. I was like, this is not what I said.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think there are parts of that, like, obviously, yeah, you want, like, you show that you, like, you know, you have a caring section, like, how you just jump into action, you know, and everybody else is going the other way. You're ready to go for it. And I think the clever part was how you turned, you know, an experience, which was obviously frightening for the kids, into something that they felt proud of in a way. Like it wasn't like all was lost. Everything is bad. Like parents go from concerned to fine. Kids go from crying to, you know what? I just survived a bee attack. So yeah.
I am one.
Yeah. No,
I am one pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
No, you hear that, Jessica over there? I survived a bee attack.
Yeah. So I think that's a great way. And then like to end it from there, like with your lead in about how you and the YMCA balance, like and match, I think that's a very clever way to then be like, all right, so this is what we're gonna hear about.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that was my favorite part about it. It was like how you use like the values of the YMCA, like and how that relates to you. And then I'm sure you went on and explained how each of those, like here's a story that relates to each of those. I thought it was really good. I like the attention kind of grabbing story attention. He's like, run, everybody run. And I like that it wasn't like overtly about you. Like, you know, you had like other people involved, and it was like showing how like the kids then seemed proud about it. The kids seemed rave about it. The parents like went from like completely like really nervous about it to being like, okay, like everything's fine. I mean, you didn't just say, you know, I made sure the kids felt that this happened, or I made sure the parents felt safe. I really like that, how you really brought into like the parents' emotion, the kids' emotion, without overtly saying like, I did this.
Yeah, so that's basically what I went for. And then with the core values, I used that to kind of take that to MGH and Tufts and somewhere else. And I kind of just showed, all right, I use these two values here. I use these two values here. I use this one here. And that's kind of like how I went through it, and then just wrapped it up at the end. But yeah, that one was mine.
There you go.
Which one do you guys want to go next?
Matt, we're going to let you end with a bang. I like
that. Is that a pun?
You let you decide yourself. It's actually funny because like I'm reading through like my 28, like the one I submitted that got me into med school, and I'm like still like nitpicking it. I'm just like, hang on, I would.
I know. You're I'm always. I'm doing that too. I'm like, God, so I don't like this.
So funny. Alrighty. So this is. Oh man, this is like the very first draft, and it is an interesting thing. Here we go. As I reflect on the trajectory of my developing passion for medicine, I think back to being a second grader, giving a presentation on what being a doctor was like. To explore that perspective, I interviewed my father and realized now how little I understood of what it really took and meant to be a doctor. Blah, 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 blah. This is still very bad. And then I'll just say, because it just honestly drones on for a while. And then I go, spending long hours... Sorry.
Read it.
Okay, fine. Here we go. From right where I left off. Why would anyone want to do this? I thought to myself when I observed my father working long hours. I then saw how he took pride in his work, spending his time with patients, and the accomplishment excitement he experienced upon seeing conditions improve. Every day at the hospital was different, yet every day he went into work to make a difference in someone's life. Imagining myself in someone's shoes was the answer to my earlier question. Spending long hours doing something you love isn't work at all, but simply one of the joys of living. So, like, it drones on for a while.
Okay.
All right.
About random things. And it is very, I mean, mine is very boring at the beginning there. So like my first draft, that's one of the things that I heard right out the guns was like, why do I care? You know, like, and I think for a lot of it, I focus on, you know, like observing a physician and being like, oh, this is so cool. You know, and I don't,
it focus. Also kind of like that first draft, when you spoke about being in second grade,
yeah.
I immediately got that image in my head. Not like of you being in second grade, but I immediately imagined you for the rest of the story as being like
a second grader. Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did too.
Yeah. So I think,
and that's like not what you want. You want them to see you as like an adult.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I think, continuing on into the now 2018 one. Okay,
so this is the one you submitted.
This is the one I submitted. And, I think I experienced a lot more things, in between, I think writing my first draft and a couple other things, I worked and volunteered in an ER, in a decently busy ER at a busy time during the ER. And I got some experiences in there that actually really helped me decide what I wanted to write about. So this is the final draft. It's a Sunday morning, and the trauma bay is filled with victims of a car accident. Doctors and nurses call out instructions, gauze cover one of the patients, and the other is in a neck brace. As I fill my role on this team, protecting lives, I desire to be able to help more. I want to live a life worth living, which means committing myself to something worth doing. To me, fulfillment is earned by doing something that is equal parts rewarding, challenging, and focuses on the betterment of others. Sacrifice in the name of service to others is the most fulfilling call of all. As a child, I saw the pre-dawn hours that my dad, a surgeon, left for work, and the exhaustion when he arrived home late, wondering, why would anyone want to do this? I spent several hours volunteering in the emergency department each Sunday for 8 months, where at times the job was tiring, dirty, and very intense. However, I have rarely felt as fulfilled in my life than at that time in the emergency department. Each day, the hospital is unique and presents opportunities to make a difference in someone's life. As with the car accident, I fulfilled a role saving someone's life, yet I wanted to be able to do more. This reinforced why I want to commit my life working as a physician in a hospital to best use my talents and passion to change lives. In answering my earlier question, I know that spending long hours doing something you love isn't work at all, but simply one of the joys of living. So I think like the way that it changes, in my opinion, is it focuses a little bit more on my perspective of things. And
you sound more mature.
You do.
Yeah. And I think like that's the biggest thing is like you want to convey intelligence.
I really like that you didn't say like a doctor should be able to do this. Like, you know, you talked about like a life worth living and you talked about all these like qualities that like when you were talking about them. And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but it didn't overtly like scream like doctors should be able to do this. Mm. It was like, yeah. This is a, like,
it was a question of his.
It was like, this is a very good person. Like, this is just a good person in general. And I like that a lot because I don't like it when it's like, or I've read like three of these. Like, I feel like it doesn't work as well if people are like, a doctor should be able to do this. A doctor should be able to do that. I liked that a lot.
Thanks.
From yours.
Yeah. And I know I contradict myself as in like earlier in the podcast, I say like, you don't want to talk about experiences where you're like running around doing something, but like, the biggest thing for me was like, I literally watched this happen and was like, oh my word, like, yeah. This is extremely real. And like, I fulfill such a small role, but it still has meaning. And seeing everyone else do so much more, I just felt compelled to do whatever it took to be able to do more to help.
Exactly. Yeah. That's 100% what I took out of that part was what I envisioned was a person working in a hospital and they have this job that isn't what they want, but they understand that this is a stepping stone to where they want to get to. And you're portraying that, you know, I did my job. I knew what I had to do in that moment, but I knew in that moment that what I was doing wasn't enough for me personally, and I wanted to go do more. Because that's kind of what I allude to in one of mine. I talk about a patient, and I say, you know, I shaved that patient. Like, and the wife was ecstatic about it. She was so happy when she saw her husband. And I was like, that was an amazing feeling to get. But I knew that there was more that I could do in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bigger point. And I think that it was more mature. I liked that you posed that question and then you answered it later of, you know, it's not really a job if you love it.
Yeah.
And that tells me that you've thought about this. You know what you're getting into. And I also know from you being in a trauma bay, you know what a busy hospital looks like. You've seen some stuff.
You've experienced that. You kind of like have an idea of what it is.
You're not walking in thinking that you're going to go to medical school and become a physician and then just get off work every day.
Right.
I'm sure that person said, okay, I guarantee you that guy has had a day where he had to stay late because a patient came in at the end of his shift and he got stuck doing it. And they understand that you get that at that point.
Yeah.
That's what I saw at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like a big thing about like the application is to show that you know what you're getting into in a way. And I think later on in that, I kind of talk about the perspective of, you know, being the kid of a physician who without a doubt works insanely long hours. And it's like, yo, Dad, dinner was at 6. It's 9. You're just getting home. There's complications. This person, I got called back on my way home. You know, like my dad has left Thanksgiving or like Christmas because a patient was, you know, not doing well.
Yeah.
And so like those are things that, you know, when you have that perspective, you're like, man, this is not glamorous. It's like this is gonna be like a rough time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's interesting things, but thank you guys for your input.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Mr. Semler, would you like to just... you know,
you're not going to let me say anything.
I know, I was thinking about doing a pun, but it's just not...
I couldn't think of one quick enough.
I could, but I feel like it would take away
from... Well, I feel like I should... I kind of want to read my first one, my
Go for
final
it.
One first, because that makes it sound a little bit better.
Your final one first?
Yeah.
No, you got to read the junk one first.
All right. Okay. In the summer of 2016, I found myself in Tanzania teaching young adults and adolescents how to put on a condom with a wooden penis. I explained to over 30 young men and women at the time how important condoms are to stopping the spread of HIV and preventing pregnancy. While I was not an expert on HIV, I presented myself in a professional... Oh god, this is bad. In a professional way, giving meaning to what I was teaching. However, along with the expertise, I believe that talking to someone about their health also requires compassion and understanding on the individual level. For me, medicine is not only encompassing being an expert in the field of study, It also requires connecting on a personal level with patients to truly understand the problems of each individual.
Okay.
So, thoughts on that one?
It was bad.
I had a hard time kind of following it. It went from condom to wooden penis to I'm wearing professional clothes.
I did too.
And then you closed up with, what did you close up with? You closed up with, like, you have to understand.
Understanding people.
Yeah.
Yeah, going from condoms to penises to understanding people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. All right. Well, that's why it was my first one.
It's your first one. If it was your best one, we'd be calling it one guy in a coat again.
Yeah. No, I think the thing is like we just touched on, like, it's there,
right?
You know,
so, and that was,
there's,
yeah,
something
that was the thing
there
too.
It's pulling it together,
and now
the diamond's still in the rough.
Let's see what the refined product
is. We're gonna turn the diamond into a ring now.
You think that was a diamond?
I think that's
a I'm thinking that's like a piece of carbon, and now we're making this.
I was gonna
diamond.
Say that was
okay.
That,
all right, fine. We're taking the carbon, we're gonna make the diamond, then we're gonna put the diamond into a ring.
10,000 years.
Fair enough.
With the earth.
No. Okay. Crush it, Matt.
All right. The room was silent as I held up a wooden penis in front of 30 HIV-positive Tanzanian adolescents and demonstrated how to properly put on a condom. I was aware not only of the discomfort on their faces, but also their intense focus as I explained their importance to preventing the spread of HIV. Most students have never interacted with Americans before, leading to skepticism in what I was teaching, which pushed me to tailor my presentation to address their unique concerns. Then I talk about getting diagnosed with a medical condition, which I won't talk about, but I said my experience in the healthcare system as a patient has left me both profoundly grateful to my specialists for restoring my quality of life and aware of how medical practice can be improved. As a physician, I hope to use my background in research and teaching, as well as my familiarity with being a patient, to provide patients with evidence-based care that acknowledges their humanity.
I think that was the perfect, like, contrast for an opening.
Yeah.
Yep.
That opening, your second opening, was a million times better. Immediately grabbed me. Yeah. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, if I was a physician and I was reading that, the imagery of you talking about that room and holding up a wooden penis and talking about this in front of the 30 HIV, you drew a picture with that one sentence that...
Yeah, and so that's...
You can't
that's,
not imagine that.
Yeah, that's, right. That's the funny... So the funny story about this is that, like... I got this idea, like, the nurse that I went to Africa with told me this, like, while I was teaching, because she knew I was applying to medical school the next year. She looked at me like I was sitting here holding a wooden penis in one hand and a condom in the other, and she looked at me and she was like, I got your opening for your personal statement.
Boom. Yeah.
I was like, really? She was like, if you write in your personal statement that you're sitting holding a wooden penis, they're going to want to know why.
Yeah.
I was like,
there's no doubt.
Me too.
No, I honestly, similar. I love that opening. If I was reading that, and I'm not trying to boast this kid right now, for those of you that are listening.
Oh, you're not reading the rest of it, so we're
I don't want to.
I don't either.
Like, if I was reading that, you've already set a tone in my head that I have an image of you, and granted, you're holding a wooden penis, but...
vulnerability, though.
But you've already drawn me a picture of that you're doing something medically relevant. You're teaching these people that are scared, that don't know exactly what's going on. And I really like that opening. Sorry, I almost just swore. We've never sworn on the podcast yet, so I don't know if I can.
Have we?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but
so I bit my tongue.
I know. I agree. I think like it is one of those, like, yes, I'm gonna read more here. And then I think in the same way, like Mike said, like, you're doing something to help further a medical cause, but at the same time, you're putting yourself in an uncomfortable place.
Yeah,
like I have no doubt. Like
that. Yeah, that was literally like my second paragraph on my old one was talking about, like, it was so uncomfortable for me and I didn't know what I was doing. And
but the thing is you will do that.
Yeah.
For the sake of the people you need to help.
But the first comment was like, you're already showing that in the first paragraph.
Exactly.
You're just wasting time at this point.
Exactly. And then I think actually not to put you on the spot again.
That's right.
Could you read the last sentence of that introduction paragraph again? Like that one that leads into using evidence-based medicine.
So I said, I hope to use my background in research and teaching, as well as my familiarity with being a patient, to provide other patients with evidence-based care that acknowledges their humanity.
Boom. I think that's a great way to lead into you're about, like,
You set the stage.
Yeah, you set the stage, and now it is your platform to show those qualities you just addressed. And I think that's a well done thing.
And I didn't. I was like so wrapped up in the beginning, I didn't really even catch that end. I like the way you summed that last sentence up. I like that you respected your future patients by saying you'll. Did you say you'll respect their humanity?
I said acknowledges their humanity. Yeah,
I like that word a lot. I feel like the word humanity is not used enough, and it's a. It's a huge part of medicine.
It is.
That and dignity. Dignity is another good thing. Yeah.
Buzzwords. Buzzwords.
We got to make a list of those buzzwords.
Maybe at some point we will.
Yeah.
Dibs on introspection.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
No, that was good.
Alrighty.
Anyone got any closing sentiments or thoughts?
Don't be afraid to talk about a wooden penis. Could get you into medical school.
Don't be afraid to be a wasp slayer.
Oh, man. I'll get some experience. Figure out whether you're a wasp slayer or you're a wooden penis holder. Or if you found some malcontent in your limitations as a medical provider, as a volunteer in an ER.
Now he thinks he's a philosophizer. Yeah.
This has been the first BS section. So, Matt signing off.
Summer signing off.
Mike signing off. Thanks for listening to the Three Guys in a White Coat PS section.